Well, this week's episode is actually on time, so props for that. For me, I guess. Yeah. But yes, we're on time this week. So that's lovely. We've got lots of interesting things to talk about this week. Just as a reminder, in the description, there is a link and you can enter a giveaway and you can win things to celebrate the 100th episode. So you should do that because it will be ending soon. And you wouldn't want to miss out on potentially getting free stuff for literally just clicking a link, would you? And now we shall proceed into the episode. Angels may fear to tread in the dangerous domain I explore because they know it all. Every question they have is answered by the sky and her deck of scuffed tarot cards. I asked mine too, every day at 6:45 as you sat atop my laptop, your voice sneaking from the speakers of my phone as I find our futures and the answers to my curious questions. Am I headed down the right path? Will my scars have company soon? Can I ask the moon to make a man love me forever? What is forever? I am lonely when you hang up. My shoulders sing sad songs to my soul, cold and mopey, as I descend under the duvet, waiting for the next time I have your undivided attention. Wishing I had been as apprehensive as an angel until I fell asleep. And I wake up, I come when you call me, obedient and needy, because I'm just like that. And no, you know I don't want to talk about that. I don't have time to deconstruct my damn disposition because I have matters of the heart to discuss with my cards. I'm sitting down, but it feels like I'm on the ceiling, smiling and screaming quietly when I hear your voice again, and the cycle repeats until one day I just stopped asking. I stopped asking because my psychic told me I needed to be surprised, and you talked to me like you'd loved me all your life. And I was tired of inviting the past to sit beside us, so I stopped asking my cards if I was heading down the right path, and I just followed your voice. I'm gonna be real with you. My whole life, I have kind of ended up in situations with people who don't really believe some of the things that I do that are quite important to my life. I have never in my whole life gone out with anybody who had the same... It's two key things, right? Religion and astrology and like magic and stuff. Now, religion, I don't really care so much because for me, I see that as like, it's like my private thing. I don't need to like involve somebody else in it. It's whatever, you know, because I've never seen it as like a shared activity. I know some people do, but for me, it's just like this special connection that I have. And I don't know, it's not a group thing. You know, we can all just mind our business, and as long as we're not hurting anyone, we can just get along, right? although, sidetracking here, because there was this thing on Twitter the other day. I swear I will get to the point eventually. And it was about things that people you had gone out with had said that, like, bothered you, but, like, you pretended it didn't or something like that. And I said about how I used to go out with this guy who used to constantly quote that thing, religion as the opium of the people, knowing full well that he's essentially saying, like, I'm brainwashed or whatever. And it's like that kind of, oh, I'm so intellectual and clever because I don't believe in what you believe in thing. I just, it's obnoxious. But anyways, you know, but in terms of that, my kind of perspective is, as long as we're respectful of each other and we're not hurting anyone, like, we can believe different things in that regard, and that's fine. Astrology kind of bothers me a little bit more. Again, I can live with it, I guess, but I'm pretty much, like, always gone out with, like, earth signs, and they just, they're too, like, oh, no, that's not real, that doesn't make sense. And I'm like, well, of course you think that, you're an earth sign. Anyway, as always, it happened again. And so my boyfriend is a Capricorn, and he is really quite a Capricorn. It's funny because he was like, oh no, none of that stuff's real, it's just a coincidence. And I'm like, well, that's funny because you match exactly what a Capricorn is, but okay. And it makes me laugh that he's like such a Capricorn, like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, I told you I was gonna get to the point, and here we go. Sometimes when we're on the phone, I'll just, like, start doing tarot readings and, like, fortune telling and stuff. You know how I do it on the podcast? Like, I'll just do that on the phone. And I have to say, he is the first of the earth signs to actually entertain that. You know, he plays along and everything. It's really cute. Because I'll say to him, like, make a wish, and then he does. And although once he kind of gave me a clue to what it was, because I kept bugging him because I wanted to know. And so I think that's why it didn't come true, because I figured out what it was. But anyways, and like, he actually does all the things, and it's really cute, and he acts like really excited when I tell him things. Like, I don't know if he actually is or if he's just pretending and humouring me, but it's really nice. But I... part of why I did that was because, like, I wanted to, like, it was like I wanted to get reassurance, you know, from the cards. And I wanted to know, you know, is this gonna work out? Because I feel pretty invested in this already, and I don't want to, like, I don't want it to get all fucked up. Like, give me the tea. What's going on? You know? And do you know what? I think the fact that, even though he doesn't really believe in all this stuff, but the fact that he just kind of went along with it and, like, just let me do my thing, I think that in itself is a sign, you know? And it kind of made me feel, you know what? I don't need to keep asking for that reassurance. Because I'm getting signs, I'm getting clear evidence that actually this time is different. And that's nice. So that was kind of like the one happy thing that I managed to write this week. It's been a week of bleakness and sadness. I don't know what to tell you. But I did manage to write something happy. So let's celebrate that. I set fire to myself in my sleep sometimes, pouring out all of my rage, swimming under the sheets, dreaming, waiting, nestling into nighttime and the freedom it brings, being blissfully unconscious till I hear a good night returning home. And I recall being young, being eager to enjoy each night in case another one didn't arrive. I'm tired as I lay awake, Not sure if sleep will join me again. Not sure if I just want my own company for a couple of hours as the good night goes to bed with water, paracetamol, and regret. If you've ever wondered why I sleep so much, then you should know I am tired. I am tired of seeing this world sometimes, and so I sleep to escape, to distract myself from escaping entirely. And even now, I know that you don't know that I'm being honest. And I'll never tell, in case you send me to an escape I do not choose. I was not made for the wards or the morgues. I was made for a meadow that exists only in my mind. A place I've never been unless I dream it. One day I might move there, and you'll stand over my bed exclaiming disappointment, sadness, and regret. Or you won't, but I won't know. With my hair braided, brain dead but happy, flying through fields of wheat like an Austin heroine or a disgraced prime minister. Rested and restless as I explore newfound imaginary freedom. There is this place that I go sometimes in my head. I don't know where it is, but I think I do. But like, I don't know. I wrote something about a couple of months ago because I had a dream about it and I was there. And there was someone there with me, but I couldn't see who they were. And then they jumped into a river. It was very that. But sometimes I think about it and I go there. You know, and it's very peaceful. It's where I go when things are too much and I can't really handle it, you know. And it's like safe and I kind of like, there's a lot of it. Like there are like rivers and mountains and big fields with flowers and grass, and I kind of imagine myself being there and being free. I've been thinking a lot about kind of the concept of freedom. And if it's ever something that's real, maybe that's just kind of self-absorbed in first world problems, but I haven't ever really felt like that in my life. I've always kind of felt trapped by something or someone, I don't know. And I feel this yearning for something, but I can't describe what it is. Just this feeling where I call it freedom, but I don't know if that's actually what it is. But it feels like that place. And if I ever find it in real life, then maybe I'll know what it was I was looking for this whole time.
What the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
Well, everyone really needs to stand up and say that, okay, no, this is not politics in the normal British way. This is something darker and bleaker, and it's got to stop.
Peace is possible and must be achieved.
We want Scotland to remain inside the EU, and we want the UK to remain inside the EU.
Labour is weak and divided, completely unable to offer any sort of opposition to the Tories.
And I say to all the doubters, dude, we are going to energise the country. We're going to get Brexit done.
But the party that I need is an independent political party.
Thank you.
This actually started kind of right at the start of last week. So a little while ago, Dominic Cummings, who is of course one of Boris Johnson's most terrifying goons, said he was looking for weirdos and whatever to hire, and he fucking found one. He hired a guy that that had suggested enforced contraception be used to prevent the permanent, the creation of a permanent underclass. And, you know, things like black people have lower IQs on average. Basically, he was a complete cunt. And like, this guy said that black Americans have a lower than average IQ than white people and are more likely to have an intellectual disability. Women's sport is more comparable to the Paralympics than it is to men's. In order to get around unplanned pregnancies in the UK, long-term contraception should be legally enforced. There was just, this guy is like a crazed racist incel. And what made it worse? Boris Johnson's spokesman refused to say whether he agreed or condemned the remarks. He just kept saying, the Prime Minister's views are well publicised and well documented, but they're not. So it's like, well, then what does Boris think? What's the tea? What are his thoughts on this? Is he going to give us a straight answer? And no, apparently he is not. So that was, I mean... fucking hell. As a woman and as an ethnic minority, it quite obviously, I mean, I'm uncomfortable with the thought of Boris Johnson being Prime Minister anyway, but the fact that he can't even be bothered to condemn support for eugenics and, you know, support for the idea that black people have, what the fuck am I supposed to think? What am I supposed to get from that? Like, fucking hell. I don't even know what to say about that, really. Once again, the Prime Minister is a horrific bastard. Fucking hell. Eventually, the advisor was allowed to resign. I don't think it should have got to the point where he was allowed to resign. He should have been outright fired. The fact that they let him have the dignity of resigning, to me, says a lot about the government. But, you know, apparently it makes me a snowflake to think so. So, but you know what? I would rather be a snowflake than some kind of fucked up lunatic that thinks forcing contraception on people is normal, or, you know, arguing that your race has an impact on your intellectual capabilities. You know what? I'm fine with being a snowflake if it means I'm not that guy. That works for me. What else has been going on? Oh, here we go. The House of Commons has paid out over £950,000 since 2016 to cover the cost of MPs accused of wrongdoing by staff. So that covers things like legal costs for civil cases and criminal cases, compensation payouts, non-disclosure agreements, because that's fucking normal. So essentially hundreds of thousands of pounds have gone to dealing with the horrific behaviour of some MPs since 2016. That's not that long ago, is it? I mean, that's almost £1 million in like 3 years and a couple of months. What the fuck? I just... honestly, I don't know what the fucking hell is going on over at Westminster. They're all fucking batshit. God, Question Time. Do you watch Question Time? I don't watch Question Time anymore. I got into the habit of watching it, actually, a couple of years ago because my ex-boyfriend was on Question Time once. And so I watched it for that reason. And then I started watching it, like, after. Like, I just kind of got into the habit of watching it. But then it just became yelling for a long time every week, and I just couldn't be asked anymore, so I stopped watching it. But it always, every Friday morning, you know, Question Time's greatest hits turns up on my fucking timeline, and so I sort of end up watching it without actually watching it. And Christ, this week, oh, so there was some woman who was screaming about shutting the borders and, you know, immigrants are terrible and all the, you know, all that kind of thing. It was messy as fuck. And listen, I'm going to be real with you. There were a lot of people who were condemning it. And rightly so. Because what she was saying was not based in fact, and it was just based on xenophobic ranting, essentially. But this is what I mean when I say that this kind of thing has been going on for a while, because this woman is not the only person in the UK that feels like that. She's also not the only person that's been given a platform. But when people say, and I know I talk about this all the time, but I feel like it does need to be said, because there are a lot of people that are labouring under delusions that are allowing this to happen more often. You know, these kinds of attitudes are not new in the UK. They have existed for a long time, far before Brexit, far before the referendum was even called. And when British people sit there and they act like it's this new scary thing that's only just started to happen, they are essentially allowing it to continue, because by acting like it's just a tiny number of people and, you know, oh, it's just one person that they got on Question Time, it's not, right? And we've been trying to tell you this, but you didn't want to listen. And now look what's happened. So I did not enjoy shouty Question Time woman's rant, but I know that there are lots of other people that think the exact same thing. I know that because if you look in the replies of that video, you can fucking see loads of them. And if you truly want for these kinds of views to go away, several things need to happen. Number one, you need to actually call out people when they lie about these things. When people lie about, you know, the effects of immigration, when people lie about how minimal these kinds of attitudes are, when politicians blame immigration for things that are actually their fault, you need to actually be proactive in calling it out. To be real with you, and I know this isn't what a lot of people want to hear, but I'm going to say it anyway. If that had fucking happened, you know, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, Brexit probably wouldn't have happened, because people would actually be aware of the fact that actually a lot of the problems we have in the UK are not because of European migration or, you know, those dreaded
EU parliamentarians who are making us do bad things or whatever, they'd know it's actually because our government is terrible and hasn't done half the things they're supposed to do, such as investing in infrastructure, investing in areas whose industries have been decimated to rebuild those areas and give new opportunities to people, because they haven't bothered to build housing, because they haven't bothered to build and upgrade hospitals and build schools. You know, like, if people had actually called out the government when they were sitting there saying, oh, it's Polish people, oh, it's the EU, oh, it's single mothers, oh, it's Muslims or whatever, if people had actually called them out at the time, then these attitudes would not be as prevalent as they are now, and we wouldn't be in the situation that we are. But that didn't happen to the degree it needed to, and so we are, you know? So, I mean, it's unfortunate, and no one really likes it, but I feel like maybe some of the people decrying it could also take some responsibility and admit that maybe they could have done a bit more, you know? It's not enough to just dunk on some woman from Question Time and whatever. Like, you actually have to do a bit more than that to be real. Anyway, moving away from racism. Scotland is having a bit of a moment. So, in the last few days, there's been lots of, like, media pieces and articles speculating on whether Nicola Sturgeon, who is the leader of the SNP and the First Minister of Scotland, is going to step down. You know, is she in danger? What's happening with her? Is there a coup? No one knows. And this really just appears to be sort of a response to admittedly a quite poorly articulated, you know, could have been said a bit, you know, clearer, but just an offhand remark from one MP in her party. Basically, Angus McNeill was being interviewed and a journalist asked him about her position, and he basically said that's a matter for her. And everyone has now interpreted that as everyone's out to get Nicola Sturgeon. She's in danger, girl. And it's like, I don't think that she is, actually. Really. I mean, it's funny, actually, because on social media, obviously, because of my interest in Scotland, I follow people from kind of all sides of the debate on that. I do follow a lot of pro-independence accounts, but I also follow quite a few unionist accounts, and watching the unionists, it's like Christmas has come again, just like 2 months after it came initially. They're like, oh, this is amazing. They are so fucking excited. They're like, oh yeah, we're gonna get her, she's going down. And I'm like, okay, do you guys need a timeout? Like, this is weird. This is weirdo behavior. It's weird, especially watching a lot of English people who just at the very mention of Scotland seem to get very angry, sort of jumping on this and getting very excited, and they're just looking at the headlines and they're not actually looking at the evidence presented in the article, which is essentially one offhand comment from an MP, which he later actually clarified on Twitter, and he said, no, I didn't mean that, you know, she's going to step down or that I want her to step down. I was just saying you should probably ask her because it's about her, you know. And they're getting so fucking excited, thinking, yeah, she's gonna go, this is great. And I'm just wondering if people would be that excited if she was a dude, because real talk here, I do feel that some of the criticism that she gets and some of the attacks that she gets has something to do with her being a woman. The whole let's get her, let's take her down attitude, you don't really hear that kind of stuff aimed at male politicians. Pretty much every Scottish Conservative election campaign includes personalised language aimed at Nicola Sturgeon specifically. It's very, tell her we said no, tell her to get on with the day job, as if she is the entirety of her government and her party. And they don't do that when discussing other parties. They don't talk about Richard Leonard like that. They don't talk about Willie Rennie like that. They don't talk about, I was going to say they don't talk about Patrick Harvey like that, but they don't really talk about Patrick Harvey at all, which is a shame because he's great. But, you know, I do feel like, you know, these attitudes and the way people are responding to this perhaps wouldn't be happening if she was a man. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying. Especially a lot of the misogynistic personal attacks on her looks, like, that's obviously not going to happen to a man, you know. But, you know, I guess we're not allowed to talk about the misogyny of politics because, well, won't somebody think of the men? There has been huge amounts of flooding in Wales. And surprise, surprise, the Prime Minister couldn't be asked to go and visit people. The Leader of the Opposition has gone, Jeremy Corbyn has. A lot of Plaid Cymru MPs and Assembly members have gone to visit people. A lot of Labour MPs as well. And Boris Johnson apparently couldn't be asked to go and visit. He couldn't be asked to hold a COBRA meeting about it to discuss what could be done to help people with flooding because, I mean, well, he's got his majority now. He doesn't need to act like he cares about people. But, I mean, with flooding specifically, it actually really pisses me off that there is flooding to this extent almost every year. And the government will just release some little thoughts and prayers statement as if they didn't know that this was going to happen. But it happens every fucking year. In fact, sometimes it happens several times a year. This is not new information. And yet, why are they not investing in fucking flood defences? Why? It's a fucking mystery. You know, and so you pair that with the fact that Boris Johnson can't even be asked to turn up and go visit these people and pretend like he cares. It's like, this bitch. This fucking bitch. Oh, and Priti Patel kicked off because because the rapper Dave was at the Brit Awards and he performed a song and he called Boris Johnson racist. And Priti Patel kicked off when she was asked about it. She was like, he's not racist. Oh, you know, yeah, because a guy who literally in the same week refused to condemn the idea that black people have lower IQs and intellectual capabilities than white people is definitely not racist. And the guy who, you know, compared Muslim women to letterboxers and bank robbers is definitely not racist. And the guy who called black people pickaninnies with watermelon smiles is definitely not racist. Okay, Priti. All right, hun. I mean, I don't really know what to say to that. Fucking hell. The Labour thing is still happening. I know, I know. Dawn Butler, she's running for deputy leader. Christ. She put out a little tweet. Everyone was celebrating the anniversary of the Independent Group. For those that don't know, the Independent Group or Change UK or Change UK, the Independent Group, or they had a lot of names, basically, was a party that was formed after a lot of MPs left Labour and the Conservatives and decided to be their own party, right? So there was a lot of articles about, wasn't it funny that the Independent Group, Change UK, the Independent Group, the Chukka Party, they had their little thing, but then they all lost their seats. Ha ha ha, so funny. And Dawn Butler tweeted about it, and she said, "This should not happen again. All Labour MPs should pledge to trigger a by-election if they resign from the Labour Party. Under my deputyship, we will learn from previous mistakes and prepare for power." But what she's forgetting here is that one of the MPs who left the Labour Party, Luciana Berger, did so because people were literally threatening to kill her in the Labour Party. Like, Labour Party members were sending her death threats. They were sending threats about her family. They were constantly harassing her and abusing her because she's Jewish. And so, yeah, she left. So it's kind of a bad look for Dawn Butler to be in, you know, to be all, like, bitter about it and be like, "Oh, fuck you, Luciana. I can't believe you ran away from, like, racism and bullying. Ugh." Like, girl, have some fucking humility, like, damn. Oh, so there's a new immigration system coming in, the points-based immigration system that everyone keeps going on about. But the problem is that it's going to be very, very difficult for quite a lot of the industries and sectors that need staff to get staff under this system. Because a lot of the skills that people would have for those jobs, you know, things like care work, hospitality, are now classed by the government as low skilled, and there'll be no kind of route to visas for what they're calling low skilled workers. Personally, I don't think that any job is low skilled. I think every job requires skills. And, you know, I think to say that something is less skilled than another, I think that's a bit dumb. Like, I, for example, couldn't do care work. It's just not realistically going to happen. I probably couldn't do hospitality either. They have skills I don't have. So, but it is going to fuck those industries so hard. And all the government had to say was, "You should be training up British workers. You should be looking at automation. Girl, you can't get a fucking robot to care for your nan or something, can you? That's ridiculous. It's absurd." And this idea of just, you know, training up British workers, well, that's adorable, but you've taken away a lot of training options from employers, you know? Oh, nursing bursary? Oh, we don't have that anymore. Yeah, so that's great, well done. Any kind of help for training care workers at all, it doesn't exist. Any help for training hospitality workers, it doesn't fucking exist. Any help for training agricultural workers, it doesn't fucking exist. Like, you know, so... Jesus. And the other thing is that the government is saying constantly that employment is at an all-time high across the UK. They're saying, you know what? So many people across the UK are employed. Everyone in the... There's barely anyone who's unemployed in the UK. But then at the same time, they're saying, oh, but there's millions of people looking for a job. Why do you need immigration? And it's like, well, they can't both be true, Priti Patel. They can't, right? Either there's loads of fucking people in the UK looking for jobs, and you are therefore lying about the fact that unemployment is at an all-time low, or unemployment is at an all-time low, and therefore there are not tons of British people looking for work, so we do need immigration. It cannot be both. Both of these things cannot be true at the same time. So which is it, hun? What is the truth? She's probably too busy, allegedly, bullying people to answer my question, but there we are. Because that was another thing that happened this week. There was reports from a lot of people that work in the Home Office that Priti Patel is a bully. She's bullying staff, picking on people. I can't say I'm surprised. She always looks smug and evil, so... what can I say? I mean, Jesus. But she's not had a great week. The immigration thing has gone down badly, obviously. And, you know, she's been accused of bullying. So, but I don't really know why anybody expected the immigration thing to go down well. It's obviously not going to. It's obviously going to be a disaster. And yeah, of course, we're just fucking proceeding with it, because Brexit means Brexit, and we just have to do all this crazy stuff because it plays well with fucking English voters. That's exactly why they're doing this. Like, they'll figure something else to blame for all the problems that arise from it in the future. They'll be like, oh, hey, remember, like, single mums and disabled people? Yeah, this is their fault. We got rid of the immigrants, and then, like, the disabled people did something really bad, and that's why you can't get a doctor's appointment. Yeah. It's a cycle, you know? It just goes on, and I'm fucking sick of it, bro. So it was a mess. It was a whole mess. Oh, Rory Stewart, you know, he was doing the whole I'm staying in people's houses thing. He's still doing weird shit. He went and stayed at a homeless shelter, even though he spent a lot of his career voting for cuts to services and cuts to welfare and council budgets and things like that. And then he's just sat there sleeping in a homeless shelter like, well, it's fine now because I'm talking and I'm walking. I'm Rory Stewart. I'm very posh. Love me. Vote for me. Like, fuck off, mate. Jackson Carter won the fucking Tory, Scottish Tory leadership thing, and nobody gave a shit, I'm not gonna lie. He thinks he's gonna be first minister, and it's like that thing where, like, a kid is like, I'm gonna be an astronaut and go to space, and you're like, oh, of course you are, sweetie, that's adorable. Except he's a grown man, so it's like, anyways, he did a little cabinet reshuffle, even though it doesn't really fucking matter. And of course his cabinet is mostly dudes. There's like three women, I think. And it's like, well, what did we expect, really? Like, what the fuck did we expect? And, I mean, it is what it is, you know? It's adorable. There was a video on Twitter that went viral. This is a bit more kind of Ireland than anything, but it was funny as fuck, and I just wanted to tell everyone. There was a video of Mary Lou McDonald from Sinn Féin doing the Macarena in a community centre. And it just made me laugh. So thank you for the memes, Mary. You know that we always fucking stan politicians dancing. We love that. We love to fucking see it. Jesus. Obviously the Labour thing is continuing. It's just been cringe on cringe on cringe. Angela Rayner turned up to the LGBT hustings in these fucking rainbow suspenders thing. It was like she was like looking through, you know, her wardrobe, like, I want to let the gays know that I am here and I am an ally, you know? It was very that. And it's like, girl, you could just wear normal clothes. You don't have to do this. Like, it was really like cringe pandering, and it was quite embarrassing. Because she seemed to think she looked great, I guess. And that's cute, you know? That's adorable. But it was... people need more than just fashion statements, you know? It's like when people turn up and a t-shirt that says love is love, and they think that's it, that's all you need. Or like that time period when every fucking celebrity was wearing that this is what a feminist looks like t-shirt, and it was like, okay, I mean, is that it? Do you think wearing a t-shirt is all that you have to do? Like, I don't know. It just feels like she's like, yeah, I'm wearing rainbow suspenders and I went to Pride a couple of times. I'm an ally. And it's like, it was very cringe. Speaking of Labour leadership and LGBT people, Lisa Nandy has been getting herself in some trouble again. There was an old article that she wrote that resurfaced where she talked about how the LGBT society at her university was excluding straight people. And she said that LGBT people might be seen as controversial and things like that. And LGBT people got upset about it. And then a bunch of people from Labour were like, she was so young, leave her alone. Miss Thing was 21 when she wrote it. Like, that's not a baby. And it was a bit cringe that everyone was like, oh no, she was so young, leave her alone. But then, like, at the same time, like, people from Labour will, like, crucify someone for, like, a tweet where they, like, called someone a bitch when they were 15 or something. And it's like, you can't have it both ways. Either somebody is accountable or they're not. And I'm sorry, but 21, she was an adult. Come on. It was embarrassing. And people were saying, oh, well, you know, she's very good with LGBT people now. And I mean, that might be true, but that doesn't mean that, you know, it would kill her to just say, you know what, I wrote something that was a bit insensitive back then and I'm sorry. That was all that needed to be said. But the fact that her stans were making it into such a big deal and like attacking everybody, it was like, well, this is what happens. This is what you get, you know. It was embarrassing. We're getting blue passports. Boris Johnson is excited. Priti Patel is excited. She even did a very special smug look holding one. I don't care. You know, I mean, I know some people are upset about the colour changing. I have other things in my life to worry about. I'm not going to be that bothered about what colour my passport is. I should actually renew it because I think it went out of date like earlier this month. But can I be asked to go into one of those photo machines and pay like ridiculous amounts of money for a tiny photo where I look ugly because they won't let me like show any facial expression? Passport photos are a fucking scam. But anyways, I don't care what color my passport is, frankly. I'm more worried about the fact that whatever's in it, I'm gonna look fucking ugly, and you know, it's going to tell people far too much information about me and it makes me uncomfortable. And, you know, also the fact that my passport now gets me less places than it did before, which is a bit shit. But as for what colour it is, I don't really care. You know. But there are some people that are really excited about it, like genuinely, like super hype, like, oh, fucking blue passports. And I'm like, okay. All right then. it's weird to me, but well, people are gonna do what they're gonna do, right? So it's whatever.
Broken boy shatters, solitary. Glass gazes, listless loneliness. Nightmares nurture, trauma twists. He howls, silently shatters, cultivating cyanide for freedom. Glass grieves, cries continuously. Shattered sun.
Continuing on from last episode's theme of me reading poems about serial killers, I wrote that about a man called Robert Maudsley. He's a serial killer here in the UK. And I was on the Twitter and there was a news story about him. So I clicked it and I read through. And it turns out, obviously he's in prison, but they keep him in a glass cell, completely isolated in a basement, because they believe he is a danger to other people. And I just thought to myself, okay, right. Now he's asked for, you know, some kind of human contact, because he essentially spends 23 hours a day completely isolated, and then he gets 1 hour a day, I think, where he's allowed to exercise outside. But that's not really human interaction. I mean, you know, having people guard you while you do push-ups or whatever is not really human interaction. He's asked if he can, you know, play board games or something like that with the people guarding him. I would assume, like, you know, I think you can play stuff like chess, like from the other side of the glass, you know, things like that. They've said no. He asked if he could kill himself, and they said no. Well, it's quite obvious why they said no to that. But essentially he's completely isolated. Now, call me a lefty liberal Guardian reading snowflake, but I would have thought that one of the primary aims of prison is to rehabilitate somebody so that they can be reintegrated into society, right? Now, obviously, completely isolating somebody and not allowing them any human contact whatsoever is probably not going to do that. If anything, if he is ever released, he is going to be horrifically under-equipped at dealing with pretty much anything. He's not going to be able to interact with other people because he hasn't done so for years. He's not going to be able to find a job because he's not going to have the social skills and the confidence to do so. He's not going to be able to find housing or anything, really. And all of this is going to lead straight back to reoffending. Now, some people would say, well, he's probably not going to get out, so it doesn't matter, right? But, I mean, Do we really want that? Do we really want to just be locking people in basements forever? I mean, even if he's not going to get out, there has surely got to be a less cruel way of keeping him in prison, keeping other prisoners safe, that does not involve sticking him in a glass box in a fucking basement. I mean, human interaction, like, even if he is behind the glass, I don't think there's any way that human interaction, just being able to talk to people, would hurt him. And I think by abandoning our values and our humanity to deny someone else their humanity, I don't think that takes us down a good road. So there was a video on social media that went viral this week about a little boy called Quaden in Australia who is being bullied at school. And the bullying had made him suicidal. He said in the video that he wanted to die. And it was very hard to watch. Very, very difficult, knowing that anyone could feel like that, especially a little kid, is horrific. And there was a big campaign to raise money so he can go on holiday. There was a lot of celebrities that sent him messages of support. But there was also a lot of criticism of his mum for publishing a video of him when he was so distressed over the bullying. And in a sense, I can understand why some people are critical of that, but I think what does need to be understood is how frustrating it can be to deal with bullying. Because everybody can sit there and they can say, be kind, be nice. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. I remember when I was at school and I used to get picked on a lot. surprise, surprise. I think it still has an effect on me now. I still kind of constantly have this idea that people don't like me or that they find me annoying. When people are nice to me at first, I kind of view it with a bit of suspicion because I'm like, okay. That sounds fake, but cool. And it is something that follows you for your whole life. And when I was at school, there wasn't much that was done, really. The school said that they had a zero tolerance policy on bullying. But there were times when that very clearly wasn't followed. There were times when, you know, the administration of the school did not seem to be that interested in dealing with it. You know, and that was sort of, you know, kind of common garden variety bullying, and, you know, also like racial bullying and things like that. And the school were kind of like, well, what can we do, you know? And it was very difficult. And I know it happened to a lot of other people at my school. It can be very frustrating to deal with that, you know. I don't have children, but imagine if I did and my children were in that position, it would be very difficult because you feel like there's nothing you can do to help them. You have to send them to school. I believe in most places it is a legal requirement. You have to send the child to school. But when you send that child to school, you know that you are potentially sending them into an environment where they will be bullied, and the school may not really be able to do much about it or be willing to do much about it. So I very much understand his mum taking this step, just because of the pure frustration of the fact that she wants to protect her child more than anything. She wants to let people know that, you know, what is happening to him has real consequences. And this may have been the only way she could see to do it. And I understand that completely. I get it. And it's very sad to know that this is probably something that kids are going through every day, you know. I don't think you could find one school in the world where at least one person isn't being bullied. And it's so fucking depressing. It really is, because it is something that can follow you for your whole life. And so I completely understand why she took the steps that she did. And I do think it needs to be more than a hashtag, you know. Some people will say, oh, you know, kids don't know what they're doing. But you can't have a situation where kids are suicidal at the thought of having to go to school and facing more bullying. It's not sustainable or acceptable. There have been cases in the past where kids have been bullied so badly they have killed themselves. And yes, it's a difficult situation, it is tough. But I think that there are, in my experience, there are some schools that could be doing more. There's a program that we have here in the UK that is finding a lot of students. It's called the No Outsiders program. You may have seen it on the news because there were some parents protesting it. And its focus is, you know, teaching children about differences in people. You know, some people are gay, some people have just one parent instead of two, some people look different to you, and that's okay. And things like that, I think, can help. Teaching children from a very early age that people will be different, but difference isn't bad, I think is a good way to confront this. Because when you don't do that, you have situations where kids who are different are bullied and they are picked on, and we all know where that goes. And so it's kind of extra depressing that you had people literally protesting a program which had the entire aim of stopping bullying and stopping the suffering of children, and, you know, actual grown adults were like, no, this is bad. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, I've been thinking about that video a lot throughout the week. You can find it on social media. And I think it's not enough to just say, be kind, be nice. You know, as a society, we have to be proactive in protecting people from being othered and dehumanized. We have to put steps in place to make sure that we don't reach a point where a mother is having to publish a video of her child crying and saying that he wants to die before we step in and say, okay, bullying is bad. It shouldn't have reached a point where she had to do that. He shouldn't have reached a point where he felt like that. And, you know, it may be uncomfortable to sit some kids down and say to them, when you act like this, this is what you're creating. But I think it does need to happen. You know? It's not enough to sit there and be like, oh, just be nice. Oh, kids will be kids. It might be uncomfortable, but sometimes we do have to sit these kids down and say, okay, what you're doing is causing legitimate pain. And you need to address that. Kids are smarter than you think, you know. And if you explain it to them, you know, which again, like I said, programs like No Outsiders are doing, then you're going to see a reduction in bullying. But the adults in the room have to want this. They have to put the effort in to try and protect these kids from this kind of treatment. Because if the adults are not being fucking adults and being responsible about this, then we just end up with more situations where little kids are suicidal at the thought of going to school and their parents have no other options. And I really don't think that's the kind of world we want to live in.
I think what I want most in the world is to be free. But freedom is just a dream I had one night when my mind was feeling extra generous. I think what I want most in the world is to exist without feeling I do. But I'm trapped because life is like that. And even if you didn't sign up, you still have to serve your full term and pay your debt to a society that forced you into forcing your way through it. I think what I want most in the world is to be somebody else, or to be the me that people expect and appear to want. But it's too late because nobody else is really here. Nobody else is really here.
That was very much like a one take and done kind of affair. I was feeling kind of like existential on Instagram. Do you know what it was, right? The night before, I had, this is going to make me sound so stupid, but what can I do? I had watched The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. You know the film about the Holocaust and the little boy and the other little boy? I had put off watching this film for the longest fucking time because I knew I wouldn't be able to deal with it. It would hurt me so much to watch it. But it was on iPlayer. And I was like, you know what? I do pay my TV license. I may as well get more than just EastEnders and the live stream of BBC Parliament out of it. So I press play. The first thing that actually struck me, and I overthought it throughout the entire film, was that like everybody had English accents, but it was set in Germany. And I was like, wait, what? Hold up. It was weird to me, but whatever. Anyways, so I was watching it and it was so sad. It made me feel awful. Like, after I just laid there in bed and cried for like half an hour because just the thought, obviously I know that, you know, The Boy in Striped Pyjamas, the book itself, is not entirely historically accurate, shall we say. And it's not based on, like, it's not like a diary. I know that there are quite a lot of books from that time period that are diaries and biographies and things like that, but it was kind of a fictional work based on historical events, so to speak. Anyway, but thinking about the reality of that situation and the things that people really did go through, it just kind of all hit me and I just wept until I kind of fell asleep. And then I woke up and the next day I still felt fucking terrible. And I wrote some stuff. I'm probably gonna put that on next week's episode because I feel like I've read a bunch of like sad existential things on this one already. So, and I just felt so bad for like the whole day. Like, genuinely, I couldn't stop thinking about the people that had suffered and about their descendants who are still suffering now. And I just, it was a lot. And so I just had this day where I just wrote sad things for the whole day. And that was one of them. And I just kind of, you know, I just sort of started typing on the Instagram story. I just put up a blank screen. I just started typing what I was thinking. And all this sort of self-absorbed, I'm not supposed to be here, I'm an Aquarius stuff came out. And I was like, okay, that's pretty salvageable. I can make something of that. But it was, I have days like that sometimes where I just think about things and I get like that and it's like heavy, you know. Listened to another podcast the other day and right at the end they had this thing and they like played some fancy music and like read through like who produced it and who edited it and who wrote it and shit, and I was like, I should do something like that. But then I remembered I would just be reading my own name several times and that would be fucking weird. And I'm like, it would be unusual, I'm sure. But what I can do is I do have some names I can read out. The great people at Patreon, the top tier supporters, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, Eleanor, Alicia, Emily, Andy, and Tyler, thank you very much for supporting this show and other work that I do. I really appreciate it. If anyone is interested in doing that too, you can subscribe to Patreon for $1 a month and upwards, and you get lots of exclusive behind the scenes stuff, lots of free stuff, early release stuff, and also you get mentioned every week on the podcast. There is still, for I think another week, a special offer running on Patreon where if you subscribe, regardless of which tier you subscribe to, or if you are an existing subscriber, you will get a free signed copy of the new book. So all the details for that are in the description below. You can also support the show by one-off donations at PayPal or Ko-fi. And you get access to the early release program if you do that. Or just by leaving a review or rating the show is also helpful. So if you've had a good time, these are some things you can do. I will be back again next week with another episode. But for now, this brings our time together to a close. Good night, my